Blog Talk Radio.
Neither aiming at originality of principle or sentiment, nor yet copied from any particular previous writing, it was intended to be an expression of the American mind, and to give to that expression the proper tone and spirit called for the occasion.
We are in the very midst of revolution, the most complete, unexpected, and remarkable of any in the history of the world.
Every post and every day rolls in upon us independence like a torrent.
Our obligations to our country never cease, but with our lives.
We must all hang together, or most assuredly we shall all hang separately.
Wise if we hesitate. For God's sake, let us come to the final separation. The birthday of the new world is at hand. The tree of liberty is watered with the blood of patriots and tyrant folk.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another,
and to assume among the powers of the earth
the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them.
A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident,
that all men
are created equal,
that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights,
that among these are life,
liberty,
and the pursuit of happiness,
that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends,
it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute new government.
Laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form.
As to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness.
Prudence indeed will dictate that government long established should not be changed for light and transient causes.
And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer
while evils are sufferable
than to right themselves
by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed.
But when a long train of abuses and usurpation, pursuing invariably the same object,
evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism,
it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for the future security.
Such has been the patient suffering of these colonies.
And such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government.
We,
therefore, the representatives
of the United States of America
in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name
and by authority of the good people of these colonies,
solemnly publish and declare
that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states,
that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown,
and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved.
And as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war,
conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce,
and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do.
And for the support of this declaration,
with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence.
We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes,
and our sacred honor.
Why so large, Mr. Hancock?
So that...
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. C. Robert Jones Conservative Hour. So glad you could make it. That awesome piece of legislation, our Declaration of Independence. Tonight's topic, Ghosts of the Conservatives. Ghosts of the Conservatives. President Calvin Coolidge and Ronald Reagan were big haters of big government. Tonight, we take a look at our problems, our big government, the big problems that our big government has caused us, and how it is not only out of control, but how it has made so many Americans the panhandlers of our social programs. Tonight, we're going to take a true look back at some of those presidents, some of their speeches. We're going to take a look at the current president, and even some of the senators and congressmen of the past and that have stood for conservative small government. Political leaders in both parties just seem to be really, really more self-absorbed, and which we're going to hear from a long-term U.S. senator who acknowledges this. Just the question, who really trusts government nowadays? Government doesn't trust in the people. We know that as a fact. Also, tonight we take a look back at the true political leaders of and that were federal government. Does Ron Paul stand alone and desire the end of big government? Are the ghosts of the conservative past gone forever in America? Will we ever get back the rights that we have given up to our friends in the United States federal government? We listen to our past, our current. Let's wait and see. Have we lost the rights to our Constitution, my friends? Who knows? We'd like to welcome everybody who is in the chat room. I see Sabrina and Samantha. I see Sarah and Nikki and Kath. Minnesota girl, always a pleasure to have you here. I wish you would call in from time to time. Michaela, Lisa, I think that's you, Catherine, KSU girl, and Tamara. It's really, really sad how if you listen to some of the presidents of the past, how they talk so openly as far as not trusting government. These are presidents. Senator Hollings from South Carolina was a Democrat who was very conservative and very much against big government. He's going to address the problems of just how big and ballooned out government has gotten, just how absolutely ridiculous it's gotten as far as money, where he talks basically, you get elected and you're immediately campaigning again, even for a state senator, a U.S. senator. You begin campaigning like a couple weeks later, after you've already won a six-term election. So if you obviously win in November, basically starting the first of the year, you're campaigning again. Unbelievable. And let's play that piece. This is Ernest Collins. He was, I believe he retired in the 90s. But he was almost a 40-year senator, I believe, and he was very, very conservative. I'm trying to think. I think he served for many years with Jesse Helms. I may or may not be mistaken. It's North Carolina or South Carolina. Too bad Southern Sense isn't here. She can school us on that. But anyway, here he is talking regarding his book and just the questions that we're addressing today. Of the conservative movement, where has it gone? I'm going to play a couple pieces for you later on. I'm probably going to floor you listening to the Prez. That's the current Prez. Anyway, let's give a listen.
Don't tell me you don't know what time is when you're on.
Now that's got to be the wrong piece. Oh, man, oh, man. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna dig up that piece, but just talk. I'll tell you what. You know what I want to do? I want to play the Prez first. Our dear. Oh boy! Buckle up your chin straps, everybody.
The President of the United States.
I have come here tonight not only to address the distinguished men and women in this great chamber, but to speak frankly and directly to the men and women who sent us here. While our economy may be weakened and our confidence shaken,
it is a crisis of confidence.
The fact is, our economy did not fall into decline overnight.
These changes did not happen overnight.
That is why this administration is moving swiftly and aggressively to break this destructive cycle, to restore confidence.
Restoring that faith and that confidence to America
is a plan that won't help speculators or that neighbor down the street who bought a house he could never hope to afford.
There will be people that made bad decisions that in some ways will get help.
How many of you people want to pay for your neighbor's mortgage? Raise their hands.
We know big government does not have all the answers.
This plan will require significant resources from the federal government.
The era of big government is over.
President Obama, are you listening?
My job, our job, is to solve the problem.
Some are promising that government will rescue us from the economic storms raging all around us. We have our doubts.
I know there are some in this chamber and watching at home who are skeptical.
If we do everything right, there's still a 30% chance we're going to get it wrong.
We will also end the tax breaks for the wealthiest 2% of Americans.
The worst deficit comes from a recession. And if we can take the proper action in the proper time, this can be the most important step we could take to prevent another recession. That is the right kind of a tax cut.
I know that it's easy to lose sight of this truth, to become cynical and doubtful, consumed with the petty and the trivial.
Republican leaders are playing politics instead of doing what's right. Call the Republican leadership. Tell them no is not an option.
But in a time of crisis, we cannot afford to govern out of anger. What do you think a stimulus is? That's the whole point.
The president warned that our country is facing a crisis.
I'm here today to talk about a crisis. We've inherited an economic crisis, a failure to act to turn a crisis into a catastrophe.
Don't let anyone tell you that America's best days are behind us.
Slowly but surely,
little by little,
confidence will return.
We can and we must rebuild our confidence.
And our economy will recover.
Well, well, well. Clear contradictions from then and now. I think some of the presidents we look at that are some of the history has revealed that they're very good presidents are saying the opposite of what the current president and vice president are saying. Feel free to call in. Thank you, Minnesota girl. I even have better ones coming up. Buckle up your chin straps because some of these are just going to floor you. Area code 347-884-8500. That's the call-in number or toll-free on Dr. Jones's dime. One of the best parts about taking over this show, which Dr. Jones will be back next week, Monday, I believe, he has a toll-free line. So you can call on his dime, area code 877-666-9305. If you want to call in on a toll-free number, let me know in the chat room, and I'll post that number, but I did post a regular number. Okay, brass tacks here. When did things really start to change? You know, we like to think they changed right around 9/11, but the slow movement took place long, long ago. I think with 9/11, it really got the ball rolling. It gave these people the chances to push their agenda and push it fast. It's very, very disappointing. To it's very disappointing to see just how much rights we have lost over the last 100 years. And I say, yes, 100 years, my friends. So, I mean, they have been taking away our rights more and more all the time. You didn't hear about it as much, I would assume, at the turn of the century of the 1900s, just because of the communications communication was not as good as they are, obviously, are now, where most people carry cell phones. They also have cameras and video cameras in their phones. The internet changes an awful lot. But anyway, we're going to, here we go. Let's, when did all of this change? Well, let's play the Prez here. And this is to show you in many, many ways how, just how disappointing it is to, that people in general are so easily swayed and manipulated. Politicians have always been politicians, but I would think good U.S. citizens have always been good U.S. citizens. Well, let's give a listen to President Bush here. This is at least in our era, and when I say our era, maybe right around the 9/11 era, this is when our rights really started to be trampled on, being taken advantage of, et cetera, et cetera. Give a listen here.
Will be regarded by the United States as a hostile regime. Our nation has been put on notice. We're not immune from attack. We will take defensive measures against terrorism to protect Americans. Today, dozens of federal departments and agencies, as well as state and local governments, have responsibilities affecting homeland security. These efforts must be coordinated at the highest level. So tonight I announced the creation of a cabinet-level position reporting directly to me, the Office of Homeland Security. And tonight I also announced a distinguished American to lead this effort to strengthen American security, a military veteran, an effective governor, a true patriot, a trusted friend, Pennsylvania's Tom Ridge.
So this is how liberty dies, everybody, with thunderous applause from those we elect to preserve the freedom.
He will lead, oversee, and coordinate a comprehensive national strategy to safeguard our country against terrorism and respond to any attacks that may come. These measures are essential. The only way to defeat terrorism as a threat to our way of life is to stop it, eliminate it, and destroy it where it grows.
Yeah, exactly. Now I ask, who is the enemy? Shortly after this piece, give a listen here. And I'm going to tell you who our good friend George Bush believes is the enemy, and as well as the politicians of this country. This is a story, Minnesota girl, if you thought the other one was a great montage, give a listen to this story.
Imagine if your family was awakened in the middle of the night by a team of federal officers. Well, that's exactly what happened to a woman and her children in Granville County.
Amanda Lamb is in the newsroom joining us now. And Amanda, we understand that because this case falls under the Patriot Act, a lot of the usual rights for defendants not available here.
That's right, David. The Patriot Act was created after 9/11. It allows federal agents to investigate suspected cases of terrorism swiftly in order to better protect our country. But one Granville County mother says it gives the federal government too much leeway. Her son was taken into federal custody 2 months ago. She can't get him out, and she can't get any answers. 16-year-old Ashton Lundeby's bedroom is nothing if not patriotic. American flags everywhere. But according to the United States government, This 10th grader, who has never been in trouble with the law before, is now a suspected terrorist.
I was terrified. There were guns, and I don't let guns around my children. I don't believe in guns.
On March 5th, around 10 o'clock in the evening, Annette Lundeby says 10 armed FBI agents, along with three local officers, stormed her home looking for her son. They handcuffed him and presented her with a search warrant.
They said that he was being arrested for making numerous bomb threats.
Annette Lundeby told the officers that someone stole her son's IP address and used it to make crank calls through the internet, making it look like the calls had originated from her home. She says the FBI's extensive search of her home turned up nothing.
No bomb-making materials, not even a blasting cap, not even a wire, not even, I mean, I don't even know how to make bombs, but they didn't find anything.
The teenager was taken to a juvenile facility in Indiana where the bomb threat was supposedly made. His mother has had little access to him since his arrest. She says the Patriot Act stripped her son of his right to due process.
And we have no rights under the Patriot Act to even defend them, because the Patriot Act is superseding the Constitution.
There's nothing a matter of public record. All those normal rights are just suspended in the air.
Dan Boyce is a former U.S. attorney.
It's a new law, and I'm sure there were very, very good intentions.
But Boyce believes the Patriot Act has gone too far in some cases, and Ashton Lundeby's may just be one of them.
It very well could be a case of overreaction where an agent leapt to certain conclusions or has made certain assumptions about this individual and about how serious the threat really is.
Because there is a gag order in the case, the U.S. attorney in Indiana told us he could not comment, nor could the FBI. The North Carolina Highway Patrol did confirm they assisted the FBI with its operation at the Lundeby home on March 5th.
Never in my worst nightmare did I ever think that it would be my own government that I would have to protect my children from. This is the United States, and I feel like I live in a third world country now.
Lundeby says this type of case is not what the Patriot Act was intended for. Boyce agrees.
It was to protect the public. But what we need to do is make sure there are checks and balances to make sure those new laws are not abused.
Know that they can come and take anyone in your family away, even your children. And they don't have to be guilty.
Lundeby says her son is scheduled to have a hearing at the end of May, but she is not hopeful it will happen because the date has already been moved multiple times. And we will continue to follow this story. David?
Amanda Lamb, thank you.
Well, well, well. There you go. Unbelievable. It used to be times like this where you would get your due process. Let me wet my whistle real quick. You know, you get arrested, you have the right to remain silent. Of course, they found nothing, just some 16-year-old kid, or they may or they may not have had some. I mean, it sounds like a bunch of trumped-up charges, even period, even if what they were saying is accurate. I mean, is that good enough to arrest somebody? An IP address? A telephone number? Oh, come on. I mean, just clearly, one more time, just outright criminality. This is ridiculous. We the people, I mean, what is wrong with us? Why are we not so proactive against this? Why are we not just beating down the doors of every politician at every level, even our local level, where he or she would say, you know, that's a federal issue. Well, too bad. You're my local official. You know, earlier today there was a discussion. People are running in my city in Grand Rapids, the Grand Rapids Public School Board. Handful of people showed up. We got like 7 or 8 candidates. Where's our schools? I mean, you get a dozen people. We have 131,000 registered voters in this city. Where in the hell is everybody? just a horrible situation. And, Michaela, you're right. Guilty period, say the feds. Jermaine, GGT183, is in the chat room. I'd like to welcome him. Now, he does the conservative hour at, I think it's 11:30 tonight. We'll have him verify that. But I do plan on co-hosting with him tonight. And last night, I hopefully you saw her Terrible Tuesdays. This actually gave me the motivation for this show, was the Terrible Tuesdays and the controversy. If you missed it, that's a great show to actually download. And it's, even the shows that I'm not on, my friends, it's a really good show to download and just to listen to. You get all kinds of cross opinions, and it's kind of a good thing to where you can kind of do your own research, hear 10 different opinions, maybe 15, sometimes all talking at once. But what you do is you form your own opinion. 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. He does a great show out of North Carolina. Also, Jermaine, if you can, private message me your cell number. We need that periodically. Make sure we're on page one. When you become 18 years old and you register to vote, as a male, you also register for selective service. Those are obligations and honors. It's an honor to have what we have, and it's an obligation that we owe these individuals who have fallen and paid the ultimate sacrifice, who are handicapped forever, who have fought for our freedoms, individuals who are mentally messed up due to war or just whatever. Families that have lost their mother or father, and it's just shattered because they were fighting for our freedoms. Ultimately, it's the constitutional right and the right to vote that really what the Declaration of Independence started, and the Constitution of the United States, to this day at least, still stands for the most part. We're going to jump into another piece, and oh, boy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jump to a break first. Sometimes I get really wound up, so the notes I have in front of me, may as well just throw them in the trash. Anyone like to call in, feel free. And we're going to jump to a break. But first, a programming note. Tomorrow will be a daytime show. I am working, and I'm not sure what time I'm going to get out, probably not until late evening. So instead of doing a Dr. Jones show for a half hour or in a rush, you're just going to be able to catch me tomorrow night with Jermaine on the GGT 183 conservative hour, or hours, I should say. And I'm going to do a report tomorrow prior to going into my shift, talking about the large egos of the media maniacs. Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Rachel Maddow, Chris Matthews, Anderson Cooper, and also how they report sometimes isn't always accurate. If you channel surf, you'll see all three stations, or CNN, Fox, and MSNBC, they're all at the same location reporting the same story. But what they're saying in the microphone reporting back to us, sometimes they're opposite. CNN saw this, Fox saw this, and MSNBC saw that. That does happen often. Oh, boy. Yep, they've become more Hollywood stars and more into themselves than almost anything. I mean, when you are supposed to be a journalist reporting truth and justice and Everything that's supposed to be accurate, none of it's accurate. Even in the sense that, before I go to the break, let me make this comment. You're watching the news to get news, to get the story. And if all three are reporting something different, and they're in the middle somewhere lies the truth, then it's not really accurate. It's not really a story. It's just false propaganda. And that really reflects on how media itself fits into even today's topic, but we won't really dwell on it. But just goes to show that people are not really interested in the truth and the real story. They're more interested in hearing their opinions reiterated by media. Alrighty, we'll be right back.
If tomorrow all the things were gone I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. Men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her till today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., will this ride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her till.
Oh, not really sure what happened to that, but anyway, you know, so be it. That's yeah. That's how it works here in this business. Welcome back. We're going to jump into one other piece that I want to play. I had a lot of responses to yesterday's yesterday's interview. Are you aware $9 trillion has been lost? Yeah, well, Jermaine and I are aware of that. We talked about it yesterday, but $9 trillion. On top of that, $2.3 billion from the Pentagon. If this doesn't boil your blood, my friends, a pure case of just how we are getting screwed. We are just complacent. We have almost fallen to a point where we are so dumbed down or spineless or both. $9 trillion. Okay, now, so $9 trillion's missing, and we get these guys that are going to interview the person who was the head of the a big shot with the Federal Reserve, who basically is, I don't even want to refer to her as an idiot, but we'll give a listen and let you decide exactly what you hear.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Inspector Coleman, you're the Inspector General for the Federal Reserve, right? Okay.
That's correct.
Have you done any investigations concerning the Federal Reserve's role in deciding not to save Lehman Brothers, which led to shockwaves and went through the entire financial system?
In that particular area, you know, I don't generally comment on specific investigations, but we do not currently have an investigation in that particular area.
All right. What about the $1 trillion plus an expansion of the Federal Reserve's balance sheet since last September? Have you conducted any investigations regarding that?
Right now we have a, we call it a review, and I don't know if the term investigation may have different connotations. So we're actually conducting a fairly high-level review of the various lending facilities collectively.
which would include, you know, the TALF, a variety of the different programs that are in process. So we're looking at them at a fairly high level to identify risks.
Well, I understand that, but we're talking about events that started unfolding 8 months ago. Have you reached any conclusions about the Fed expanding its balance sheet by over $1 trillion since last September?
We have not yet reached any conclusions.
Do you know who received that money?
For the... We're in the process right now of doing our review, and...
Right, but you're the Inspector General. My question to you specifically is, do you know who received that $1 trillion plus that the Fed extended and put on its balance sheet since last September? Do you know the identity of the recipients?
I do not know. We have not looked at that specific area at this particular point on those reviews.
What about Bloomberg's report that there are trillions of dollars in off-balance sheets transactions that the Federal Reserve has entered into since last September? Are you familiar with those off-balance sheet transactions?
You know, I think it may be important at this point, too, just to bring up a certain aspect related to our jurisdiction. And just to clarify perhaps some of my earlier comments, we are the Inspector General for the Board of Governors, and we have direct oversight over board programs and operations, and are also able to look at board-delegated functions to the Reserve Banks, as well as the board's oversight and supervision of the Reserve Banks. We do not have jurisdiction to directly go out and audit Reserve Bank activities specifically. Nevertheless, in our lending facilities project, for example, we are looking at the board's oversight over the program and to the extent that extends out to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York.
Well, I have a copy of the Inspector General Act here in front of me, and it says, among other things, that it's your responsibility to conduct and supervise audits and investigations relating to the programs and operations of your agency.
That's correct.
So I'm asking you if your agency has, in fact, according to Bloomberg, extended $9 trillion in credit, which, by the way, works out to $30,000 for every single man, woman, and child in this country. I'd like to know, if you're not responsible for investigating that, who is?
We have responsibility for the Federal Reserve's programs and operations audits, to conduct audits and investigations in that area. In terms of who's responsible for investigating, would you mind repeating the question one more time?
What have you done to investigate the off-balance sheet transactions conducted by the Federal Reserve, which according to Bloomberg now total $9 trillion in the last 8 months?
I'll have to look specifically at that Bloomberg article. I don't know if I have actually seen that particular one.
That's not the point. The question is, have you done any investigation or auditing of off-balance sheet transactions conducted by the Federal Reserve?
At this point, we're conducting our lending facility project at a fairly high level and have not gotten to a specific level of detail to really be in a position to respond to your question.
Have you conducted any investigation or auditing of the losses that the Federal Reserve has experienced on its lending since last September?
We're still in the process of conducting that review. Until we actually, you know, go out and gather the information, I'm not in a position to really respond to the specific question.
So are you telling me that nobody at the Federal Reserve is keeping track on a regular basis of the losses that it incurs on what is now a $2 trillion portfolio?
I don't know if you're telling me that you're mentioning that there's losses. I'm just saying that we're not, until we actually look at the program and have the information, we are not in a position to say whether there are losses or to respond in any other way to that particular.
Mr. Chairman, my time is up, but I have to tell you honestly, I am shocked to find out that nobody at the Federal Reserve, including the Inspector General, is keeping track of this.
Well. I wonder if they just purposely sent a dummy to speak, because did she answer any questions other than the first one where she says, we normally don't talk about this, but no. I'm thinking, okay, if you normally don't talk about it, why are you answering the question? But, I mean, she didn't know. They're unsure. They're not doing this. They are doing this. They don't have authority to do this. They do have authority to do that, but Oh, my goodness. When does this end? Oh, my God. I mean, this... Taft, who wrote My Cause, who wrote Somebody Slapped This Bitch, I'm telling you, just listening to it, this is about the fourth or fifth time I've listened to it. I first listened to it before I decided to, when I was doing the research to do the program yesterday, Money to Burn. And I listened to it again because I didn't really think it was accurate. I thought, no, nobody can be this stupid. I thought, come on, there is just no chance. Well, I don't think they're stupid. I think this was totally planned. I think this was just another situation where the politicians are just so crooked. It stems from everything in today's topic. Where is the conservatism? Well, I'll tell you something. Here is a conservative talk. It's 1 minute. And this president puts it exactly how it is, exactly how it should be. No mixing words, no bullshit, just straight up. Here is Calvin Coolidge. And Calvin Coolidge will tell it is.
I believe in the American Constitution. I favor the American system of individual enterprise, and I am opposed to any general extension of government ownership and control. I believe not only in advocating economy in public expenditure, but in its practical application and actual accomplishment. I believe in a reduction and reform of taxation, and shall continue my efforts in that direction. I am in favor of protection. I believe in the permanent cost and further limitation of armaments. I am opposed to aggressive war. I shall avoid involving ourselves in the political controversies of Europe, but I shall do what I can to encourage American citizens and resources to assist in restoring Europe with the sympathetic support of our government. I want agriculture and industry on a sound basis of prosperity and equality. I shall continue to strive for the economic, moral, and spiritual welfare of my country. The laws of the land are being and will continue to be enforced.
All right, next up is a piece, The Patriot Act.
President Barack Obama has signed a one-year extension of several provisions of the controversial counterterrorism statute, the USA Patriot Act. Provisions in the measure would have expired this past week without Obama's signature. The act, which was adopted in the weeks after the events of September 11, 2001, expands the government's ability to spy on Americans in the name of national security. Three sections of the Patriot Act that stay in force will authorize court-approved roving wiretaps that permit surveillance on multiple phones, will allow court-approved seizure of records and property in anti-terrorism operations, and will permit surveillance against a so-called lone wolf, a non-U.S. citizen engaged in terrorism who may not be part of a recognized terrorist group. Obama's signature comes after the House voted 315-97 to extend the measure. The Senate also approved the measure, with privacy protections cast aside when Senate Democrats lacked the necessary 60-vote supermajority to pass them. Thrown away were restrictions and greater scrutiny on the government's authority to spy on Americans and seize their records. The bill with privacy protections had been approved in the Senate Judiciary Committee by a bipartisan majority, but that bill could not survive an expected Republican filibuster. The ACLU's Lauren Murphy said, quote, "Once again, we have missed an opportunity to put the proper civil liberties and privacy protections into this bill. Congress should respect the rule of law and should have taken this opportunity to better protect the privacy and freedom of innocent Americans. We shouldn't have to live under these unconstitutional provisions for another year."
Yep. Well put. Well put. that's true conservatism right there, my friends. I mean, that is the true conservative views. And just the way Calvin Coolidge talked, he was president during the era of what they call the Roaring Twenties, or the Booming Twenties, or something along those lines, because he believed in the things he talked about, and just look at the positive results they had in the booming economy there. And he was also a true labor movement type guy, but he wasn't afraid to stand up to the unions, like the police department that wanted to go on strike in Massachusetts. He was like, this is bullshit. You can't go on strike and put the city in security risk. Negotiate, under your current contract. And basically, so he was a great labor, a voice of a union, basically. But he stood up for what was right and what was wrong in the same manner I do. Whereas I'm a strong believer in workers' rights, because obviously, when you don't have them, we've seen in the early part of the 1900s, 10-year-olds being hired. I mean, right now, Barack Obama, people like Scott Walker, and many of the other, Paul Ryan, they would just love and thrive to have done times where they can have 8-year-olds losing their arms in machines, poisoning people, having them work with no masks, etc. And basically nothing could ever be done about it until organized labor really got together and did stuff to really prevent companies from not only taking in billions, but basically treating people, human beings who are protected under the Constitution, almost like ants. But anyway, where is the conservatism? Where is the conservatism? Where has it gone? You know, is Ron Paul out there alone? You know what? I think he is. Hang on, let me quickly put together this piece. I wanted to put it together. Okay, I think I actually have it. We're in a debate. I believe this was last year, or not last year. This was the 2008 election, but it took place in 2007. Well, Ron Paul was standing alone in these Calvin Coolidge-type conservative views. He's alone. Everyone on stage, from Huckabee to you name it, who ran, Romney, they are all as liberal as Obama. They stand to the right of Obama, but not by much. It's just horrible to see the president of the United States not only be such a liberal, but to see the Republican Party equally as liberal. Give a listen to this. Ron Paul standing alone for small government, or not even small government, but reducing the size of this balloon government.
Another gun issue for you, if you will. You have said that the 9/11 attackers might have had second thoughts if they felt that some of the passengers aboard the airplanes might have been armed. We have seen air flights diverted because people heard Arabic on planes, because they heard Muslims praying. What do you think it would do to the travel industry of this country if passengers felt others were carrying guns aboard, sir?
Well, first off, you're quoting me incorrectly.
Sorry.
I said the responsibility for protecting passengers falls with the airline, not the government. Not the passengers. The airline's responsible for the aircraft and the passengers. If we wouldn't have been dependent on the federal government to set all the rules, which meant no guns and no resistance, then the terrorists may well have had second thoughts, because the airlines would have had the responsibility. But we assumed the government was going to take care of us. After 9/11, instead of moving toward the direction of personal responsibility and private property and Second Amendment, we moved in the opposite direction. We turned it over to the federal government, and look at the mess we have now at airports. I mean, the airlines, private industry protects their property all the time. People who haul around money in armored trucks protect their money all the time. But here is one example when the federal government was involved and they messed it up. And if we put the responsibility on the right people, respected the Second Amendment, I sincerely believe there would have been a lot less chance of 9/11 ever happening.
Well, there you go. Ron Paul standing alone. Oh, boy. What in the world is going on? We'll play another piece out of there shortly as we go into the second half. I have a Skype caller on. Hang on a second. Let's get you on here. All righty. I believe that's probably Joe.
Yeah. I'm here.
I can hear your buzzing. That's how I know. Welcome,
yeah.
Joe. How you doing?
How you doing? I figured since Jones didn't come back, so I figured I'd call in anyway, even though you and I agree in about, I would say, 80% of the same political stances. So I'm here anyway.
Were you able to listen to the Federal Reserve questioning that they, you're aware of the audit, aren't you?
No, there's an audit going on now?
Well, the audit's complete. I'll send you the link. I'm gonna probably cut the show a little loose because somebody asked me to co-host again tonight, GGT, and so I wanted to catch Perry's show. But I'll send you the link to it. $9 trillion missing, and the Federal Reserve sends this woman who has some title. She's like super CEO auditor investigator.
Oh, you're talking about the one when Grayson asked her what happened to the trillions, and she didn't know.
And the first half of it is this. And there's a second half, the one that took place just a couple days ago.
Okay.
Where she's back. And he says to her, after two questions, basically the same answer, he gets up, he says, someone else needs to question this moron. I mean, basically,
no
the
kidding.
Same group,
yeah.
The same stupid woman. Because, you know, she sounds like several years ago, we were at a party, and I furnished alcohol for minors and got busted. And my lawyer schooled me on this. Just deny everything. You don't know. I mean, she sounds like that. This is like, what time did you arrive at the party? What party? You know what I mean? She just has no answers. Where is this money? And then they're questioning Rumsfeld. This was an old tape. But $2.3 billion, Joe, is missing from the Pentagon. And he's curling his hair. He doesn't know. He's like, you know, I'm so puzzled.
Yeah,
I'm so baffled.
Yeah. I've seen the video of that, too, with Rumsfeld saying, well, I don't really know. And they had a whole packet of money, actual money being shipped to Iraq. He doesn't know what happened to that. He doesn't know what happened to the trillions of dollars lost in Iraqi funds. He doesn't know what happened to the billions of, well, not him, but other Pentagon officials and other officials in the government. They don't know what happened to the billions of dollars I got sent to Karzai. Yeah, a whole... We all know what happened. The Federal Reserve is in charge of all of it. They shipped it out. They got it. They shipped it to their friends. So I'm glad there's another audit going on, but I'm glad you're telling me because I'm not familiar with this audit about, the last few days? I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, well, I was not either. Somebody had sent me an article. What had happened is apparently Ron Paul, you know, he called for the audit, and then everyone said, well, he backed down. No, they didn't. They agreed, as long as they didn't want to get embarrassed by having Congress and the Senate pass and approve an audit. So they just agreed to it silently. And they originally agreed not to have any TV cameras or anything in there. But Ron Paul and several others said, no way, we've got to have it in there. Carl Levin, who is my state U.S. Senator, he's been my state senator like 15 years longer than I've been alive.
Right.
But he was grilling this person from Lehman Brothers because it was an all-in-one type. And he said, he had an email, Joe, from someone. And he said, your company is telling people this is a shitty deal.
Right.
But push off this stock on people. So this stock that they knew was a shitty stock, that's a quote, too.
Right.
He said, so after this email got circulated all over your company about this shitty deal, you're selling the stock to Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Taxpayer, and he's the same way. He was like this dumb woman.
I really haven't looked into it. I mean, I think to myself, these people better pray I never become president. You know, none of them would leave alive. I would execute them right there.
I would like him shot, but of course after a fair trial. And then, of course, if you want to hire me for free, they either pull the rope or shoot them. I'd be glad to. So, you know.
Yeah.
I think you're
going to have to call tonight too. You got to introduce. I don't think you're in the chat room, but Jermaine, who I do the show with at night,
uh-huh.
The Conservative Hour, his GGT 183. You got to call in. So introduce yourself. Yesterday. Oh, you missed it yesterday, man. We had about 15 people in there all talking at once.
Oh, yeah, I'm used to that. That sounds like fun.
Yes, and it was. And a weird thing is I played Calvin Coolidge, a clip by Calvin Coolidge,
uh-huh.
where he believed in low taxes. He virtually took taxes and cut them by like 80%.
Mm-hmm.
And he also believed in protectionism. He didn't believe in free trade unless it was equal free trade. And we had the roaring 20s. But now, the topic of today's show is, where's the conservatism gone? It seems like when Ron Paul was running a couple years ago,
right.
he stood alone in wanting to eliminate all these departments that the president has added on.
Well, of course he is. He's the only guy that actually talks truth to power. Of course they don't want him around. The only reason he got on, and I actually saw that debate too, and the only reason they let him on the debate is because he actually raised the money bomb of $6 million in one day. That's the only reason.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny is that that stupid guy from CNN is asking him. He says, "Sounds to me like we should take our marching orders from Al Qaeda." And Ron Paul looks right at him and says, "We should take our marching orders from our Constitution."
You're right.
I mean, just threw that right back in his face. It's typical Fox News. I mean, just really stupid people. As long as you are their puppet of
mm-hmm.
the fake conservative opinion, the O'Reilly and the Hannity type, you know, you're big. This guy also on Sunday, he
mm-hmm.
has a show on Sunday I tuned into. Listen to this, Joe. At the end of his show, he said, "I've been getting a mass amount of emails from listeners and viewers. They want to know what kind of soup my wife is going to serve for Easter dinner." I looked at my brother. I said, "Who in the hell on this planet gives a shit what kind of soup his wife would serve? He's just totally making this up right now." You mean tell me people would write him and say, "Hey, what is your wife serving for Easter dinner?"
Yeah, I do. Because you know my opinion. My opinion of the American people isn't very high. They're fat, dumb, stupid, and lazy. So, yeah, I do imagine some people coming in, you know, and sending him emails instead of asking, "How come you voted for this bill? How come you didn't vote for this bill?" I can't imagine them sending an email. "What's your wife going to serve for Easter dinner?" Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah.
John called in last night on the Conservative Hour.
Uh-huh.
He had mentioned you had brought up a point on in the second hour of the Perry. It must have been after I got disconnected. I went to plug my phone because that Perry said it was humming, and
uh-huh.
I don't know what happened. I disconnected, but he had said you brought up a point. What was it in regards to? You know what? I don't remember what it was, but man, I wish I had your number. It was would have came in handy last night.
Don't ask me, because my memory is bad. So I bring up a few points, so I don't remember which one.
Yeah, well, the lady called in.
Tammy or Terry?
Both of them called in.
Okay.
I keep forgetting their names. My memory's bad, especially by that hour. I'm forgetting all kinds of things. But it's a good show. I mean, it's true conservatism, true conservatism, and really like. Let me ask you a question. You're pretty good at finance. You obviously studied that, etc.
Right.
Do you ever look back and think, this guy, based on what I know, was probably a great president? Not Reagan, but like way before our time.
No, I don't think anybody. Was a great president because inflation has grown every year. Civil rights, in little ways, they've been taken away from us in every year. Now it's been accelerated the last 8 years since Bush, the second half of his presidency, and this clown. But no, I don't think of any. And Reagan was not a great conservative president. At the beginning, he was. He did sign tax cuts, which aren't bad as long as he's not taxing the middle class. But after he got shot, he got the message, and he started raising taxes. And the first month or two of his presidency, the interest rate was the highest in history. It was over 21%. But it was a carryover from Carter, so I can't really blame Reagan for that. But there wasn't, and when he left, there was no surplus. That's a myth. What he had done, he had taken money out of the Social Security Fund to spread it around to pay for entitlements and other government funding, but then he had to pay it back. Same thing with Clinton. Clinton did not end with a surplus either. So people have really got to do the research when it comes to economics and in terms of government statistics. Just like the unemployment insurance today. The unemployment rate is not a 9%. It's actually over 20%. And if you go to the Bureau of Labor's website, they'll actually tell you that because there's a category. They categorize people for being unemployed under different umbrellas, and it is actually over 20%. So when the government is telling you that it's 20%, although they're not revealing it in the mainstream media as such, but when they are telling you that on their website is 20%, you better believe it's about 25-30%. And then when you take that in consideration, with one out of every four people getting money from the government, you know, on the government dole, you've got the government. I mean, you got the economy collapsing. And I say by the end of 2012, you might as well just wear Russian headbands. Because that's where we're headed.
Oh, we're certainly headed towards. Anyway, here's for over 100 years, mm-hmm. our rights slowly but surely have been eroding, being taken away by government. But here's
right.
The ultimate, at least in my lifetime.
Uh-huh.
Listen to this. Well, thunderous applause. This is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
We'll take defensive measures against terrorism to protect Americans. Today, dozens of federal departments and agencies, as well as state and local governments, have responsibilities affecting homeland security. These efforts must be coordinated at the highest level. So tonight, I announce the creation of a cabinet-level position, reporting directly to me, the Office of Homeland Security. And tonight I also announce a distinguished American to lead this effort to strengthen American security, a military veteran, an effective governor, a true patriot, a trusted friend, Pennsylvania's Tom Ridge.
Well, my friend Joe, that's how liberty dies, with thunderous
yeah.
applause.
That's right.
I'm all applauding.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, he's the scumbag premier, you know, that's what he was, an idiot, and a guy that was a perfect useless idiot, and what can you say? He accelerated what Clinton did, because Clinton, people don't realize that he had no-fly zones over Iraq for a certain part of his administration, and then, of course, Bush comes in, and then, of course, everybody believes the myth that there are 19 hijackers who took over four planes with nothing but box cutters, as though the American people, if they're in a plane and some clown says, we're here to hijack your airplane, and they show box cutters, like nobody is going to throw luggage at the guy. Nobody's going to charge the any of these people. Come on. This is all bullshit. We're the terrorism.
What do you think happened 9/11?
9/11, I think, is probably an inside job. I think they had Because for years, Boeing has had remote-controlled airplanes. Do you know that I think every 777 or every 757, they have the capacity to have their planes flown by remote control? So I think probably these airplanes were probably flown by remote control into the World Trade Towers, because 1,300 architects say that the World Trade Towers couldn't have fallen down the way they did. But there's also a bunch of airplane pilots who have flown these type of planes who have said that they themselves, who while at that time, were saying they could not fly these planes the way that they were flown into the World Trade Towers. In other words, they could not have made a military arc, a military flight going to the left or to the right, and flown with that kind of, well, the accuracy is another thing, but to have made that kind of flight with that arc at that speed going into the World Trade Towers. So they said something is up, very possibly remote control. You know, so no, I don't believe that not 20 hijackers, box cutters did it. 6 to 9 of them had reported the day after or within a week or 2 weeks had already shown that they were still alive. Okay? Still alive.
Yeah, 5 hijackers.
Yeah. So, look, the fact is, if this government and all of our previous governments were assigned the responsibility to protect us, they have to give us answers. The fact that they haven't given us any rational answers, and in conjunction with the fact that either four of the 9/11 commissioners resigned, and one or two of them said publicly that the whole thing was a sham. One of them said it was a lie. So 4 of them resigned. Just that alone lets you know that something is up. And when government does not give you straight answers, that means it's hiding something. When it's hiding something, it's very reasonable to believe that they had something to do with it.
And for the first time in the history of any of the black box, 9/11 is the only incident ever where the black boxes on any of them, the black boxes have a history 100% of the time they have been found. But on 9/11, four planes. No black boxes, zero of them.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that great?
Oh, my God.
Talk about coincidences.
Yeah. Agreed. And Castle X84 in the chat room, feel free to call in if you want to weigh on it. I think this is unbelievable that after 1,000, never, ever, ever going to bat, and you always get a hit, a double, triple, single, home run, never, ever, ever getting anything but that, all of a sudden in one game you strike out 4 times? No. And, again, this is our topic today. Where is the conservatism? Because with a true conservative leader, you never would have had this. I mean, a true conservative leader, government becomes small, or government is small. But, I mean, look at how unbelievable it is that what Republican is for really reducing government? Just last weekend when they said, well, we're going to save the government from a shutdown, their budget was probably a couple dollars less than Obama's.
Yeah.
I mean, it was virtually the same. If you put it in a mirror, you probably couldn't tell the difference. And, yep, Castle, you're right. We're screwed. Go ahead, John. Joe.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine this? Look, I want to have a face-to-face with any congressman, any senator that's been around for the last 10, 15 years. Because this budget deficit, this ceiling fiasco, that goes on like every 2 or 3 or 4 years. Why are these clowns now again performing this smoke and mirrors for the United States dummies? In other words, the United States citizens. They're saying, well, we have to do something. Maybe we'll raise the debt ceiling. Maybe we won't, but we'll have to have a bipartisan input on this. Where are they when 10, 15, 20 years ago they were starting to sell T-bonds to the Chinese, the Japanese, the Saudi Arabians in the billions of dollars when they shouldn't have sold them more than maybe a few hundred million? Where were they when the deficit ceiling was being talked about decades ago. These clowns are the ones responsible, and then they have the balls to get on Meet the Press and Face the Nation and start decrying the United States government, and of course the Democrats blame the GOP, and the GOP blame the other scumbags, and then they start saying, well, we have to do something. Well, you're the ones that started it. You're the ones that perpetuated it. Stop talking to me about how you're going to rearrange the chairs on the Titanic. You know? How many times does the government, does, you know, not the government, but do the people of the United States have to watch the Titanic sink before they realize it's sabotage?
Well, in many cases, I think people just don't. They'll just drown.
And of course not. That's what I keep saying. We're just fat, dumb, and lazy.
I don't think we have the, for the most part, I just don't think we have the backbone. And
we don't.
Area code 614, welcome to the show. Who do we have here?
Hey, this is Castle from the chat room.
Hey, how you doing? You're on with Joe from Montana and Mike from Michigan. How are you tonight?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
Okay.
Good. Go ahead. He kind of reiterated in the chat room, Joe, what you were saying.
Oh,
but
really?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Give us your opinion.
Yeah, basically, first thing I'd like to say is I love where you guys are going tonight, because when I was talking this stuff 6 months ago on Blog Talk Radio, I couldn't find a show on the whole site that would even let me come on without going, oh, we got a whack job here. And I'm late to the ball game as far as the truth movement goes. You know, there have been people that have been on top of this stuff. The unsurmountable lack of evidence, I could say.
I'm glad you said that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely points to that 9/11 was an inside job by somebody. I'm not saying that the president, you know, signed it sitting at his desk, like, yeah, go ahead and put that 9/11 thing in place. But somebody somewhere deep down that wasn't guys that hang out in caves that came up with the idea. You know, those buildings cannot come down like that. They're the tallest buildings in New York. Every single building in New York is built to take a plane strike. You don't think they're going to design the tallest buildings in New York to withstand a plane strike? I mean, come on. And then what you guys say was the black box. You know, the one that crashed in Pennsylvania, it only crashed in a field. Like, where's the black box? You can't tell me that it burnt under some sort of mega super hot firestorm that occurred because of some jet fuel. You know, planes crash every year somewhere in a field, and we get the black box. We know what's going on. We can hear the recording all the way up to the end. And where's the evidence? I mean, I think it was two-thirds of the 9/11 commission said that something wasn't right, and it just got dismissed. I mean, it's bogus. And what do we do? Everybody knows at this point, anybody that has a couple of brain cells to rub together is starting to figure this stuff out. I mean,
yeah.
And then to look at the last 10 years, what's the catalyst for all this crap that's going on right now? Where does this all lead back to? It all comes to the Patriot Act, going into Afghanistan, then going into Iraq, now going into Libya. I guarantee you, anybody that plays Risk knows what's going on. We're getting ready to go into Iran. I mean, we got them on both sides, and now we're locking down the Mediterranean. It's bogus. If it's not the Illuminati, you know, uber rich that's doing this, it's just plain old simply the government that's putting this stuff out there to control the masses. You know, they're not going. It's the same old empiring that they've done since the dawn of time. It's just the people can't be told that we're going to go take over because we want to rule the world. People no longer get behind a country that wants to rule the world. So what do we do? You know, we're being lied to. We know we're being lied to. You'll never get enough people to realize it and stand up because they're too drugged up, dumbed down, and just simply don't care. So that's I don't know. I guess that's my question to you guys. What do we do?
Well,
anyway, I'll make a comment. Let me make a comment. Turn it to Joe. First of all, George Bush. It was probably Cheney on down. George Bush is too stupid. He couldn't catch the clap in a Mexican brothel house. So there is no humanly possible he was involved. But Joe, I'll turn it over from to you.
Well, the very simple solution is this, and so simple that it actually slides underneath people's radar, is that for 2012, especially, is going to be an uber important election. Everybody just vote for an independent. That's it. You don't vote any Democratic candidate in. You don't vote any Republican candidate in. You don't vote in your guy from your state. You vote everybody out. You just vote in an independent. I don't care if he's an accountant, a former dog catcher, if he owns a porno shop. You vote in the independent. Why? Because the Democrats and Republicans today, they are career politicians. They will not give up their seats because they love being and walking down the halls of power. The independents, and I'm not talking about people who have turned independent who are serving in Congress today. I'm not talking about the Lieberman scumbags. I'm talking about people who've never served in office before. You vote them in. Again, why? They are not career professional politicians. They actually want to make a difference. We should have a bunch of people in office, even if they know nothing except the Constitution, okay, that would still do a hell of a lot better than these clowns who are fooling the American people every day with their smoke and mirrors, the dog and pony shows. Okay? Every one of them keeps pointing the finger at everybody else, confusing the American people. People should not believe in parties to begin with. They should believe in individual honesty and individual intelligence. So that's what I have to say.
I agree with you 100%. We need farmers, teachers, small business owners. These are the people we need to be looking for when it comes to the 2012 vote, because these uber rich career politicians, like you said, that's what they are. They make their money being politicians.
And yeah.
It's not legal. It's a revolving door with the every politician comes from some board of directors or a CEO, or they either come from that, or as soon as they get out of office, they go come sit on some board of directors or become some CEO. And so, of course, they're in there for the corporate interest, and the corporations have sold us out, man. We're done. They don't care about us because they're so international now that they don't care where the crappy workforce is. They don't care where the middle class is. Right now it's in China, so they're going to go pander that middle class in China and let us fall, and we're going to be, 25, 30, 40 years down the road, we're going to be the cheap labor force that everybody's moving their companies into. The factories will come back, but we'll be making $2 an hour.
Oh, yeah, but...
Yeah, Ross Perot warned against that. Mm-hmm. Ross Perot said, somebody asked, when will things level out? And he said, as soon as we start making 15 cents an hour, he said, like the other countries.
Yeah, there comes a point to where we need to... I'm all for capitalism and free market capitalism. Not that I believe we exist in a free market with the way we subsidize shit and manipulate the market, but a true capitalistic free market, I'm okay with that. But there needs to be some sort of limitations on companies that wish to call themselves an American company to have to support America. If you don't support America, this place is going to fail. So if you want to operate here, you sure as hell better be helping to support the place. Otherwise, you can get out, because we're the rarest country in the world. I consider myself a protectionist, and people say, oh, no, you can't just close the borders. Look at countries like North Korea and stuff. That's what they did, and look where they're at. Well, we are a huge country, coast to coast, and we can produce everything everyone here needs. We have oil here. We have minerals here. We have water here. We have food. We have everything we need. We can close down the borders and sustain ourselves, no problem. but that's not going to make the most money for these corporate a-holes. So they're running this place into the ground. It's plain and simple. We're being run into the ground by design. I refuse to believe that they're just this stupid.
No, well, they are that stupid, but they're also doing it by design as well, or they're being blackmailed. I was on a site the other day where it was illustrating how 33 Republicans were either accused or convicted of sex crimes. Now, some of them were in Congress, some of them had municipal-level jobs, you know, state senators and stuff like that. But they're either being blackmailed, or they are stupid, or it's by design. In either case, again, how many times do we as American people have to watch the Titanic die? Okay, it gets torpedoed and sent to the bottom of the sea before we realize, either through criminal negligence, which is still treason, or through sabotage, which is still treason, we've got to get these people out, and I want them shot. I want them tried, found guilty, and shot.
Looking at our track record, I don't know if they're ever going to wake up. I mean, you got the Lusitania, you got the Gulf of Tompkin incident. They sunk a whole lot of them during Pearl Harbor. These are all these catalyst events. If you look into them, all these catalysts for war always have more than what you hear. You hear the flag waving patriotic story of why we got to go over there and kick their butts, and that's all you get. If you look at the real information, you know, Pearl Harbor, they let it happen. You can't tell me. They never parked their boats that close together. They parked the entire Atlantic fleet in Pearl Harbor. They knew the Japanese had a fleet missing. They had no clue where it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they sat them there and said, go ahead. You know, bomb me. We'll be up your ass so quick because that's the only way we can get the American people behind anything. You got to hit us first. And, you know, it's like fighting at school. You get the other kid to hit you first, and then you don't get in trouble.
Yep. I'm going to listen to this. this is titled, I forgot who did this, and I know you're in the chat room. I apologize. Just let me know who did this. 16 lies in less than 5 minutes by Barack Obama. It's a person put this piece together and asked if I would play it. When I first listened to it this morning, I was like holding myself because I thought I was going to pee my pants on just how, for example, today he'll say, isn't it a beautiful day? And I'm looking at the clock, it's 2 p.m. God, it's gorgeous out. His next speech will be 4 o'clock. He'll be like, you know, I wish the weather could be any different. I mean, just the same day, he's telling the opposite stories. Listen to this. Oh, God. I mean, this really reiterates just how stupid we are. And it should make you, Rocco, in the chat room happy, who's complaining, why aren't we trying to find his transcripts? Anyway, stand by. Because I think we all know his birth certificate isn't legit. But here's Barack Obama in less than 5 minutes telling a lot of lies.
I'm not naive. I never thought that the mere fact of my election would usher in peace and harmony. Some post-partisan era. I truly believe that the day I'm inaugurated, not only does the country look at itself differently, but the world looks at America differently, that I represent a clean break from the Bush-Cheney approach.
This was the moment that the rise of the ocean began to slow and our planet began to heal.
That's why we've excluded lobbyists from policy-making jobs or seats on federal boards and commissions.
Wrong!
Yeah, for sure.
President-elect Obama, for the honor that you have bestowed upon me, I look forward to working with you and the members of this national security team assembled here.
This is Eric Holder.
I'm extraordinarily pleased that Melanie Barnes, one of the most respected policy experts in America,
and lobbyist,
as my director of domestic policy council, and that she will be working hand-in-hand with my economic policy team to chart a course to economic recovery.
And if the Republican leadership is going to insist that 60 votes in the Senate are required to do any business at all in this town, a supermajority, then the responsibility to govern is now yours as well.
But you have 60 Democratic seats, a healthy majority in the House.
Right.
If you don't get this, isn't this a fight inside the Democratic Party?
and that Republicans really are playing, you can't really blame the Republicans for this one.
Well, first of all, you haven't seen me out there blaming the Republicans. I'm proposing that we take $30 billion of the money Wall Street banks have repaid and use it to help community banks give small businesses the credit they need to stay afloat. American taxpayers are financing this solution. Then they have to be treated like investors. They should get every penny of their tax dollars back. Our approach would preserve the right of Americans who have insurance to keep their doctor and their plan.
If you want to keep the health insurance you got, you can keep it.
Oh, this
you're
one.
Not going to have anybody get
max for this one.
In your decision making. And I think that some of the provisions that got stuck in might have violated that pledge. We are prepared to freeze government spending for 3 years. Funding related to our national security, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security will not be affected. But all other discretionary government programs will.
This is not a spending freeze across the board where every single program would be cut, and I think there's been some confusion about that. For example, education, the Department of Education budget actually goes up by 6% in the budget.
And that's why I'm calling for a new job bill tonight.
We are working on a we're told not to call it another stimulus, but call it a job bill.
To end the outside influence of lobbyists, to do our work openly. To give our people the government they deserve.
What's your promise? A request from a watchdog group seeking a list of healthcare executives who have visited the White House to talk about healthcare reform. Also, the Department Inspector General recently said that your White House was holding too much information on bank bailouts.
I'm also calling on Congress to continue down the path of earmarks.
What you likely have heard about is that this bill does include earmarks.
But what frustrates the American people is a Washington where every day is election day. We can't wage a perpetual campaign.
The president has now asked 2008 campaign manager David Plumb to come back.
Neither party should delay or obstruct every single bill.
A lot of things that in the normal legislative year would be considered really big achievements. The tobacco legislation, making sure that our kids are protected from addiction. Very aggressive.
All righty. Well, I think we all get the point there. Basically, I cut that in half because basically we're going to listen to a bunch more of his lies. Oh, geez. Well, go ahead. Joe, do you want to be the first to comment on that?
Yeah, if somebody remove my bark bag from my mouth.
Did you like the part about cutting the deficit?
Yeah, a spending freeze for 3 years. Will you give me a freaking break?
Yeah. Area code 614, what is your first name?
It's Rick.
Okay, Rick. I'm Mike, and that's Joe. Rick, you want to go ahead and comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious. Anybody that speaks that well is lying. That dude is a professional speaker. That's what professional speakers do. I mean, unfortunately, I feel that lying is something that has to occur for humans to interact with each other. But I don't necessarily like it in my politics. But on a personal level, as a contractor, there are times where I don't necessarily lie, but I have to bend the truth. I have to come up with excuses. You gotta keep the client happy. And, you know, I speak in the same speech pattern. You can't BS a BSer, man. It's like, dude, I know you're full of crap. I said that as soon as he came onto the scene. It's like, that dude is, you know, preaching hope and change. Of course he's going to get everybody to vote for him. I think they almost do it on purpose. They put Bush up there, who was obviously the biggest idiot that couldn't speak. You know, everybody got to say, oh, what? We're sick of these old, rich, white guys. It's like, okay, well, now we'll throw you a real, you know, dark-skinned, smooth-talking black guy. You know, there's no way we're going to get the same crap. Everybody thought, you know, this guy's got to be different. And what do we get? Same old crap. You know, he said back in 2006 when he was in Congress and he was running for the presidency, he said that it's illegal for the president to when they collaborate with the UN and to go into a country without the permission of Congress, this, that, and the other. He gets in the presidency, what's he do? I mean, now they're preaching Libya as the this is the Democrats' war. You know, this is the leftist war. Like, oh, we're gonna go in for humanitarian aid, but we're dropping bombs. We killed more innocent people the first 3 days of our no fly zone, which is another. I don't see how you get to drop bombs on the ground when you're talking to no fly zone. No fly zone means you keep his planes on the ground.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, too, he called. He was Joe. You might be able to back me on this. And I'm. Didn't Barack Obama say what Bush was doing was an impeachable offense?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Biden said he was going to impeach Bush.
If he went into
Iran. So here we have now Joe Biden, who was a vehement opponent of Obama during the campaign, and now we've got them together as, you know, Heckle and Jekyll, and they're doing the same thing that Bush did. And this is, I mean, people are not going to wake up. I mean, what can I tell you?
Business as usual. I'm going to jump into a quick break. We'll be back, guys, in about 3 minutes. Stay with us. If anyone wants to call, the number is listed. Anybody got any preference of music, Joe?
Nah, uh-uh.
Okay. Uh-uh. Rick, did you say your name was Rick?
Yeah. I listen a little bit of everything. Play something country,
alrighty,
is what I always say.
All right. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. Alrighty, well, I sent that last song out for Annie Southern Sense. She's going to call in. She wanted to hear Candyman by Sammy Davis Jr. Annie, I only can hear so much. I, with all due respect, I'm sure he was a great guy in his day, but I don't know, that's definitely not my flavor. I got that piece with Sammy Davis Jr. from, I don't know if anybody was around then, but this guy used to have these telethons on like Memorial Day or Labor Day, and he used to raise like hundreds of millions of dollars in a weekend on TV.
Yeah, you're talking about Jerry Lewis.
Is that the guy's name? Boy, he used to raise like $300 million in a weekend.
Right.
That's a lot of dough.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow. Lots of dystrophy. Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. It's a charitable thing. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, all righty. And the debate continues. I'm going to throw this question out for either one. Can one of you, we'll start with you, Joe, name one politician that we actually like in today's world, an elected official, whether it's a city, state, or federal?
The only one I like is Ron and his son. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have to leave in a half an hour because my show called the Ron Paul Hour Power comes on Wednesdays. So I'll have to leave at 10.
Wait, you do the show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why the hell did I never know about this?
Because it's just started recently. And it started 2 weeks ago. Last week it had to be suspended because my co-host had to go away. So it's going to be reinstituted tonight.
Well, so what am I going to look under? Here, I got, we're definitely going to, hopefully Rick will show up too. What am I going to
look under? You can look under Ron Paul, Our Power, or just Ava, Indiana.
Okay, I'm doing Ron Paul. Wait, hey, man, let's see, Ron Paul. Hour of Power with Ava, Indiana, yeah. So who's Ava, Indiana?
She's a libertarian. She loves Ron Paul. She's been around for a couple of years on Block Talk Radio. So
okay.
She has a number of shows.
We're going to add a little accent to the before you have to go, Joe.
Okay.
Annie from South Carolina, welcome.
Oh, Annie's here, man. Oh, there she goes. Oh, boy.
I can't believe you actually found that Candyman and actually played it. I was pulling your leg and you actually found it. I'm dying. I am dying.
Well, you know, as they say, I aim to please in the strip club business, Annie.
The more than I need to know. TMI.
Can you imagine this guy raising like $300 million in a weekend? Oh, my God. That's unbelievable.
You caught me a little unaware because I just popped in. I was out with some friends, and Yanni and I just came home. We were putzing around the house, and I said, listen, let me pop in here. So what was your question that led to the whole thing? I missed that because I was between switching from your show to going into Skype to call you in. I apologize for that.
Joe and I and Rick, what city are you in or state?
Columbus, Ohio.
Okay. Oh, God. Got a Buckeye fan with us?
Anyway. Oh, heck no. I can't stand none of those morons, man. I don't pay attention to none of that crap.
Anyway, we're discussing where the conservatism is in this country anymore. Where have they all gone? And we're discussing the problems of America and the controversy over not just 9/11, but many of the things that just... All of these people have become pathological liars. None of them tell the truth almost ever.
The conservative ideals were sold out, same as the liberal ideas. And everywhere in between. People still feel this way, but the leadership went out there with the cat and pony show and said, yeah, you believe this, this, and this, well, I'll give it to you. And then they go out there and serve the corporate interests, same as the left, same as the right.
Well, go ahead. If you disagree, let them finish and then say something, Annie. Don't be worried about that.
Jump in.
No, I'm personally finding the exact opposite, because when I start talking to people, the more I talk to them, the more I find that people that were liberals in the 60s, 70s, and even to the early 80s, suddenly had an epiphany, and they've gone into a part of their life that they realize, hey, these things are now starting to affect them, and maybe everything the conservatives said really had some truth. And you know what? I'm finding more and more people, more, like I said, in the 60s and 70s, are now suddenly conservatives. They've had this epiphany. I gotta say, someone's got a mic on there that's giving a lot of feedback or a lot of sound here.
Yeah, it's my mic, Annie. You know that.
Oh, always. You're always the troublemaker. Don't you know that?
Yeah, I do know that. Yeah.
Well,
tell
you know, when
new.
I pointed it out one time, Perry says, Joe, go fix your mic. I say it to Joe. Joe's like, yeah, we'll just deal with it for now. Chicken, you miserable asshole.
Hey, watch your fucking word, punk.
Anyway, it's like, I agree with what you're saying, and not to say that I was from the left or the right. I do a show here on Blog Talk Radio. It's called Unite or Die, and we need to come. I understand that there are some core values to people's belief structures that you can't get rid of, but we need to find a way to set those aside for a moment and fix the bigger problems, because, you know, the budget is not a left-right conservative-liberal issue. It's an American issue, and it doesn't matter. True. You can't say, we need to cut here, we need to cut there. No, we need to cut everywhere. If you want to fight over nickels and dimes about abortion clinics, gay marriage, and all the stupid hot-button issues that everybody gets so tore up about, we're not going to fix anything. I would love to see people to put their take your core beliefs, like your true conservative, almost look at that as religion, and leave it out of politics. I know that sounds, you can't do it, but you know what I'm saying. We need to start looking big picture stuff, because the sides were split up. They split us up on purpose, because they keep you fighting over these hot button topics, and they pull the wool over your eyes.
A divided America is better than a divided America is what the king did in the Civil War. But go ahead, Annie.
All right. Well, no, this is where I have a slight problem. You must stand by your core beliefs. If you don't have core beliefs, then you have no footing, no foundation for the house you're trying to build. You have to have a foundation. Therefore, you must have core beliefs, whether or not it's fiscal responsibility, smaller government. There has to be a foundation upon which you can build your fight upon. If you get yourself distracted by side issues, that I will agree on. You can't allow yourself to be distracted by side issues. But there has to be a basis that everyone must unite upon. And that's, for example, adhering to the Constitution, fiscal responsibility, and smaller government. Those are the core beliefs of a conservative. If everyone else turns around and can unite around that, that's the foundation we build our fight upon. But like I said, like you're saying, forget about side issues, whether or not it's fair tax, flat tax, VAT,
yeah, but that's not
going to
happen.
But you have to have a foundation. You have to have a foundation for the house to be built upon, and you can't have a fight unless there are set core beliefs.
Well, that's true.
Well,
but
I agree in theory. Go ahead, Joe. You got to bounce, so go ahead. Say what you got to say.
All right. Yeah, but the thing is that the other side issues aren't side issues to the voters, because there are people who believe in abortion, don't believe in abortion. There are people who believe in flat tax, don't want the flat tax. There are people who believe in the NRA, and there are people who will oppose the NRA. And then these issues become part and parcel of those core values. And that's why when you have a two-party system, which monopolizes the American political landscape, this is how people get confused. And they don't want to change from what they've been doing the past 10, 15 years of their particular lifetime. So people have to get away from issues which aren't as – all issues can be wrapped up underneath the Constitution. And the Constitution, as Mark has said, and I'm an anarchist, and what it all boils down to is that all we need is a government to take care of national defense. Then we have a civilian oversight to make sure that the military doesn't perform a coup d'etat, and then leave everything else up to us. Okay? Plain and simple. You have community governments, and that's all you need. You don't need a big, huge central government at all for anything except national defense. And then all the other issues will be decided by the community, the local communities.
All right, Joe, this is your core belief.
That's my core belief, yeah.
Okay, then that I will respect. And actually, in a lot of ways, I'm not too far off from you, because I don't believe the federal government should have control over individual states. And I also believe state government should not have control over individual communities. So in many ways, you and I are both believing the same thing. You need a central unifying government, yes. And whoever's... Is that you, Joe, again? I swear, you're doing that just to knock me crazy.
What?
No, the background noise. I'm teasing you.
Yeah, that's probably sorry, I can't help it.
No, Joe, your mic is fine, and so is Rick's and mine.
Oh, okay. I don't know what it was then. All right.
No, sometimes it's Annie's mic, and
Joe,
she's always accusing me.
But, Joe, you and I, in many ways, agree on the same basic principles. Federal government should not be all-encompassing over the states, and the states should not be all-encompassing over the communities, and the communities should not be all-encompassing over the little local towns and villages, whatever you want to call them. There should be autonomy. It should be ruling from the bottom up and not from the up down.
Yeah, of course.
And I agree. We also need competent people in these positions. What has happened is we've not only elected people who are incompetent. If you really think about it, it's really hard to find even knowledgeable people on the issues. And it doesn't matter. I mean, it's very hard to find out. And Rick, who is in, you're in a big college town where everybody has all the answers. I mean, if you really think about it, I've lost so much hope in so many different things just based on the fact that people in leadership positions or whatever are just so unknowledgeable and they're so clueless. It's almost scary. And a perfect example, with all due respect, Annie, would be your two guests yesterday. They have no idea who Laura Boatwright is. Laura Boatwright outright proved. Laura Boatwright went on MSNBC, showed facts how the Tea Party Patriots become a corporate, and they're taking 70 cents of every dollar. These guys never heard of them. Alan West voted for the Patriot Act. Michelle Bachmann voted for the Patriot Act. The bottom line is, Annie, that they were uninformed. They were not aware. And this
again,
is everywhere.
I will beg to differ with you, because you asked me about Laura Boatwright, and I had no idea who the heck she was. But then again, Tea Party Patriots, as I explained to you, we do not pay attention to, because we will not have any affiliation. So why would I even give you 5 cents of my time to pay attention to you if you are someone that I think is so antithesis? I'm saying the word wrong. I do. I apologize.
Yeah.
I do stutter. It's one of my problems with dyslexia.
Don't worry about it. Just go ahead and speak. Don't worry about stuttering.
No, I just will let people know that I do suffer from dyslexia, so sometimes I have a problem with words. You know, those of us, even with disabilities, still have intelligence. But like I said, the Tea Party Patriots are people that we do not associate with, so why would I even spend 5 minutes of my time thinking about them or trying to learn about them? They're not anything that has to do with what I believe in and what I'm working for. So
I'm not sorry, Annie, but I'm stating a fact. Well, you are, and that is very accurate, okay? But
well, let me take this mic and then you back me
Facebook,
up.
Well, wait a minute.
Okay.
This guy also claimed that Michelle Bachmann came in and said she didn't vote for the Patriot Act
and she explained herself. She did vote for extensions of the Patriot Act. So
no,
these people didn't even check to see if she was telling the truth. They just believed her.
He said He said the same thing I said. He said the same thing I said. She did vote for it. However, he asked her the question about it, and whatever reply she gave him, he accepted. However, I also told you that I disagreed with her on the Patriot Act, and I told her about the disagreement on the Patriot Act. I wrote her a letter and an email, not just an email, but I also sent a letter saying I don't believe in what she voted on, and these were the reasons why. So, yes, each of us have our own methods of doing things. Mine is one way, his is another. He accepted her explanation. I did not. And when you asked
well,
about this, I said,
I agree with
Michelle Bachmann on a lot of issues, but the Patriot Act was one I completely disagreed with, and I turned around and voiced my opinion on that.
Well, if you can't agree on constitutional rights, that's it. You can't support anyone who doesn't believe that individuals have that the federal government should be able to take constitutional rights. But anyway, hang on a second. Rick, you've been sitting quietly.
Can I be the devil's advocate here?
You have been, but yeah, go ahead. Let Rick comment, Annie, then go ahead. Rick's been kind of patient.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rick.
Oh, I'm just a fly on the wall, man. I'd like to hear the conversation.
No, nobody's a fly on the wall here, especially if Joe's in the room.
But really what it boils down to, if you look at it, it's corporate interest is being served, the multinational corporation. So however you decide to tackle that problem, that's the only problem I can it's globalism, you know, it's this push to level the playing field, and I like my country. F NAFTA. I want my borders.
Can I adopt you?
Rick, globalism, you have a very benign view of globalism. You're saying that it's supposed to level the playing field. No, it isn't. Globalism is supposed to put control of the world into the hands of a few and to destroy billions of people or people's lives.
It's Ayn Rand.
They will level the playing field. We will all be poor, and they will be rich and powerful.
It's Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged.
That's not Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand? Yes, it is.
What they're doing
to us is Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand is for individualism.
No, I'm talking about what she wrote about in Atlas Shrugged and
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about her philosophy. Okay.
Oh, no. She wrote about this in Atlas Shrugged, and she wrote about this 50 years ago, predicting the globalization. And if you read about how she turned around and how Europe was already globalized and it came to the United States, Ayn Rand was completely correct when she wrote this more than 50 years ago, honestly.
Yeah.
She predicted every ounce of this, including the thing with gold and silver.
Well, she came from the Russian Revolution, so she was very well aware of what's happened. Plus, she was a great philosopher, so, you know.
Correct.
Ayn Rand is, yeah.
Now I actually got
Annie. Are you aware? At 10 o'clock, Joe has his own show.
Well, Joe, you know what? Come 10 o'clock, I'm pouring myself the next drink and curling up next
to
my kitty cat.
I don't blame you.
Annie, you got to listen to Joe's show. Come on now, Rick. We're gonna listen to Joe's show.
If I do,
God knows
we have a husband.
Perry didn't have a show tonight. He probably passed out.
Oh, okay.
No, I turned around
and I looked, and he's gone. And I did apologize. He thought his mic was closed on my show the other day.
Don't worry about it, Annie. Perry, Annie's show was at 2 p.m. Perry came in, and he was arguing with the Tea Party guys. I didn't want to argue with him because it's Annie's show. I wanted to show him some respect. But Perry's going back and forth. What happens, Annie, is that Perry either falls asleep or whatever, and he thinks when he wakes up, he thinks he's been muted. That's why he was like, why did you mute me? And you're like, you're not, Perry. Your mic's been open the whole time. Well, she said, Perry, you commented in the chat room, Perry, your mic's open. And he's sitting there yelling on the phone, they muted me, and we can hear him. And I'm saying, Perry, you're not muted. I can hear you. And he's just too busy screaming.
No, he doesn't have a show tonight. All right, doesn't matter. I have my show, so. program.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Let's do closing statements, because I'm gonna cut it and run to your show so I can hear Ava Indiana and her sidekick Joe.
Okay.
Rick, will you please send me a link to your show, because I'd like to follow that. Closing statement, Rick, for you from Columbus, Ohio. Excuse me.
One thing I say to close every show is Operation Grow Freedom. We got to start growing our own vegetables and purifying your own water now, and we'll be fine. Let the thing go to hell. I don't care. If you got food, water, family, you're fine. So start growing vegetables, whole heirloom, no GMOs. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. Please send me a link in your chat room, to your show. And in New York, they're trying to ban being able to grow your own fruit. Thanks for calling, Joe.
Nah, I don't have anything else to say. I've
say
said
something.
It all.
Will you just appease me for 60 seconds?
All right. I should
or
say
else
people,
I'll start,
people
making
wake up.
Racial remarks.
Yeah. I should say people wake up, but it doesn't matter. People aren't going to wake up. I have a closing remark. I was on a show the other day, and this woman was complaining about how she had to get wanded down by attending a sporting event. And we started talking about American intrusion into the federal government intrusion into civil liberties. And she's saying, well, then she starts backing up the government. She starts saying, well, look, I don't know what's happening. I don't care what's happening, because the more I know, the more I realize I can't do anything about it. So that is the typical attitude of the American people. So that's why I say, yeah, people, okay, wake up if you got the balls.
Annie.
Well, I happen to be an optimist. Despite my background as a small business owner, as a police officer in New York City Police Department, and being injured in the line of duty, I have an optimism about America. I grew up in an age where I'm a little bit older than a lot of you, where I went through the race riots and so on and so forth. I've seen the changes that we've come through. My husband's collecting Social Security another month and a half. I've seen it all, and I still have an optimism. And I'm still going to fight for that. I am still going to stand by it and fight for it. And I've seen the problems that we have. Whether or not I can overcome them or I can help other people overcome them, I don't know. But I'm going to take a stab at it. And, yes, my shelves are stocked. I can my own goods, and I vacuum freeze my own meats into the freezer, whatever else. Yes, I've always done that my entire life, but I still have an optimism for America, but I won't be left with my pants down.
All righty. Annie, Southern Sense, her show is Tuesday. She's got the link in the chat room. It's Tuesdays and Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to disconnect everybody. We're going to go to Joe's show. Annie, your ass better show up at least for a few minutes in Joe's show, or I'm coming after you with a posse. All righty, my friends. We're going to
end. Well, you're going to have to deal with my hubby.
What's that?
You're going to have to deal with my hubby.
Well, Yanni can listen in. I'm going to end the show with probably the greatest. This is my favorite right here, guys. Of everything, this is my favorite.
Neither aiming at originality of principle or sentiment, nor yet copied from any particular previous writing, it was intended to be an expression of the American mind, and to give to that expression the proper tone and spirit called for the occasion.
We are in the very midst of revolution, the most complete, unexpected, and remarkable of any in the history of the world.
Every post and every day rolls in upon us independence like a torrent.
Our obligations to our country never cease, but with our lives.
We must all hang together, or most assuredly, we shall all hang separately.
Why is it we hesitate? For God's sake, let us come to the final separation. The birthday of the new world is at hand. The tree of liberty is watered with the blood of patriots and tyrant folk.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another.
And to assume among the powers of the earth
the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them.
A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
That all men
are created equal.
That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights.
That among these are life,
liberty,
and the pursuit of happiness.
That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends,
it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute new government.
Laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form.
As to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness.
Prudence indeed will dictate that government long established should not be changed for light and transient causes.
And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer
while evils are sufferable
than to right themselves
by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed.
But when a long train of abuses and usurpation, pursuing invariably the same object,
evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism,
it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for the future security.
Such has been the patient suffering of these colonies.
And such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government.
We,
therefore, the representatives of
the United States of America,
in General Congress assembled,
appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name
and by authority of the good people of these colonies,
solemnly publish and declare
that these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states.
That they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown.
And that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved.
And as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war,
conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce,
and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do.
And for the support of this declaration,
with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence,
we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes,
and our sacred honor.
Why so large, Mr. Hancock?
So that